The next case is 08-1991, Disciplinary Counsel versus John Joseph Chambers. Ms. Sabella.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Mary Sabella, and I represent John Chambers, the respondent in this action. Mr. Chief Justice, if I may please reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. Thank you. Respondent respectfully submits that there are exceptional circumstances in this case to warrant a remand to the Board of Commissioners on grievances and discipline. The exceptional circumstances in this case are Mr. Chambers' mental disability and chemical dependency. Those two diseases, his chemical dependency and his mental disability, are diseases that affect his mood, his thought, his actions, his behavior, and because of that, even though these diseases were in fact diagnosed during Relator's investigation, he wasn't sufficiently far along in his recovery to be able to effectively participate in that process until the matter came to this court. We're not suggesting that any time a respondent files objections to the court that they should automatically be remanded. What we're suggesting is, in default cases in particular, if you look at the number of default cases that come before this court, that's a fairly small number of the disciplinary cases. And that means that the respondent has not participated in the investigation or the prosecution. And I would submit to you that one of the reasons, in particular in the Chambers case, that he did not participate was because of his diseases. He was actively drinking during the period of time of the investigation. And even though he was diagnosed with depression, he wasn't adequately diagnosed with what his mental disability was until March of 08, and that was bipolar disorder, which required medication to first try to correct the chemical imbalance in his brain, and then once that was corrected, he was then amenable to intensive psychotherapy, which he has been receiving. At that point in time, he could actually get over his fear of opening up the envelopes and look to see what was happening. He could actually take action on the grievance and find out. And when he opened that envelope, he saw that there was an order to show cause issued by this court. That's when he took action. He hired counsel, and I was able to file the objections for him.
Did your client signed an OLAP contract?
Yes, Your Honor. He has signed an OLAP contract, and that contract will run until November 2010.
And is there any evidence in our record of his compliance or participation in that?
At the time of the filing of the objections, Your Honor, we have his affidavit where he indicates that he was meeting with Paul Kamey on November 8th to sign that contract. And the only thing I can do, Your Honor, is just represent to you that he has signed that contract.
Thank you.
And he is complying with the OLAP requirements, and he also is complying with his alcohol recovery program that Dr. Sabatitis is performing, and he is complying with Dr. Musina and his recommendations both for the medicines. And then Dr. Musina referred Mr. Chambers to Dr. Faust, who is a psychologist, to do the intensive psychotherapy. Relator indicates that the court should not consider the evidence of Mr. Chambers' mental disability or his chemical dependency because Relator has not had the opportunity to cross-examine him, to cross-examine his expert, his treating professionals, or to make a determination as to whether to file a motion with the board asking the board to, in fact, send Mr. Chambers to a medical professional for basically an independent diagnosis by the board. All of those concerns would in fact be addressed if this court would remand this case back to the board.
Counsel, we're all happy to see lawyers who have chemical dependency or mental health issues seek help. His road to Damascus was fairly short. I mean, it only started once he was headed here, right?
No, he was actually diagnosed with his depression in late 05, and that was diagnosed by his primary
care
physician.
The timeline of failure to participate in anything or respond is what, when did he start responding?
Well, the only response that he made to disciplinary counsel's office, Your Honor, was May 1st of 07, and he made a telephone call to Ms. Costa. That's the only evidence that I have that he responded until...
But you said he, until...
Until he received, until he was far enough along in his treatment and recovery, he received the the mailing from this court, the show cause order.
In when?
And that would have been late fall of last year.
'08.
Yes, sir.
How late? How late fall?
The show cause was issued October 17th of 08.
Okay, so he opened that. Up to that point, he was so non-functioning that he couldn't bring himself to open mail.
Well, what he says in his affidavit, Your Honor, is fear grips me to such an extent that even with knowledge of severe consequences, I could not face. I was incapable of finding the resolve to deal with a difficult situation, and that's with respect to the mailings that were coming to the office.
The recommendation is that he suspended for a year, out for 6 months, right?
I'm sorry, it's a one-year suspension with 6 months stayed, and the master commissioner recommended anger management, which I would posit suggests that even the master commissioner realized that there was something wrong with his behavior.
I guess what I'm trying to get is, we don't have much to tell us of his recovery, and what you're telling us even now would sort of indicate that his dealing with clients at the moment is problematic. So perhaps the result that is advocated is good for everybody.
I'm sorry, the remand is good for everybody?
No. The result that the board recommended.
Well, I would submit.
What's he doing in terms of his practice right now?
Okay. Well, to the best of my knowledge, there were the Wilmore matter and the second matter, and I'm sorry, the name is.
I'm
just
not asking about
me.
Those.
There was three grievances over this period of time, is my understanding.
Okay, but presumably. He's doing something right now. What is he doing?
He's continuing to practice at this point.
What type of practice and at what location?
His offices are located in Fairview Park, Ohio, and he has kind of a general practice, that's why
so
I describe it to you.
Unsuspecting folks are walking in and seeking legal advice from somebody who's having trouble opening his mail. That's where I'm going is I'm wondering if what's recommended here isn't good for everybody.
Well, he had the problem opening his mail with respect to the disciplinary case. I can only posit that if he didn't open mail for any case at all, there would have been more than three matters that have made their way to disciplinary counsel over that period of time.
Ms. Sabella, in his affidavit, he states that on October 16th of 2008, he suffered a stroke. So I'm concerned as well with the physical as well as the mental situation.
I apologize for that, Your Honor. The actual date is October 16th, 2006. And when you look at Dr. Seichel's affidavit and report, which was Exhibit 4, Dr. Seichel has the correct date. It was a typographical error, and I apologize to the court for that. It was a typographical error in the affidavit, and it was carried over into the brief, and I apologize.
So, and then when it says the condition was caused by a heart defect repaired in January of 07. Is that date correct then?
Yes. And my understanding is that it was a congenital defect in the repair. I mean, obviously there's no guarantees with medicine, but the repair should keep that stroke from happening again.
Have you been to his law office?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. So I you know, you do very well at representing people, and you're compassionate for them, but I get the feeling you may not know that much about your client in terms of his, who he's seeing, the volume, the, you know, what are the stresses on him in his present practice.
Well, Your Honor, I guess my response to that is I look to the medical professionals to tell me, is he far enough along in his recovery to handle the stress? What is his prognosis? And if you look at exhibits 2, 3, and 4, that's his primary care physician. Dr. Sabatitis is doing the aftercare for his chemical dependence recovery. And Dr. Musina, who's doing the mental impairment treatment, they all say his prognosis is good, he's making progress. As long as he stays in treatment, or aftercare, however you want to think about it, he'll be okay. So I can only tell you what the medical professionals are saying, Your Honor, that in their opinion, he's to the point in his recovery that he can handle this. He's seeing Dr. Faust, who's a psychologist, on a weekly basis. He sees Dr. Sabatitis every other week. And Dr. Sabatitis, Mr. Chambers has given Dr. Sabatitis the authority that if Mr. Chambers starts drinking again, that Dr. Sabatitis can contact disciplinary counsel's office and say he's drinking again.
Counsel,
and certainly OLAP would do that as well.
This information is either not before, this information is not before us, and it was not before the board either, is that correct?
I'm sorry, the information as to his mental illness and chemical
status,
dependency?
Right.
It was not before the board at the time the case was heard by the board because he was sufficiently impaired that he wasn't
capable.
I understand.
I just want to clarify whether it is or is not officially in the record. As a predicate to my next question is, I think when we've remanded these matters, it's usually because the individual is under a suspension already or under an interim suspension. And I'm not sure whether you're indicating he would agree to an interim suspension while the board considers this matter, or whether you're asking it simply to be continued and remanded, and then at some time later, maybe months from now, we'll take it up again. So what are you asking us to do?
I'm asking the latter, Your Honor, that this court remands it, allow for the full discovery and disclosure of everything, and then at some point the case will come back to this court.
Thank you, Ms. Bella.
I reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Ms. Costa.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, Carol Costa on behalf of disciplinary counsel. I would ask, Your Honor, as we filed objections to, that I could reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. My investigation of John Chambers began in July of 2006. The first letter of inquiry I sent regarding the Wilmore matter in count one of our complaint. It was not until November of 2008 that respondent ever replied to any communications in any substantive fashion. He obviously knew about the investigations because he called me in May of 07 requesting that his deposition be postponed so he could respond to the Wilmore grievance. And then in December of 07, as set forth in our complaint, he set forth a detailed paragraph in a proposed settlement agreement with an individual who had sued him, asking this individual, or requiring this individual, to dismiss the grievance, contact me, Assistant Disciplinary Counsel Carol A. Costa, not to file any further grievances against him, and if the individual did not comply, he would be subject to a defamation lawsuit. So respondent clearly had the wherewithal throughout this to at least address some of these issues. There can be no question that the evidence respondent has submitted now, his affidavit, the affidavits of his medical providers, cannot be considered by the court at this time. This court cannot look at those as evidence and make a determination based on those documents that were submitted for the first time at this level.
We have not, I don't think, ever done that, but we have looked at documents like that and sent a case back. In fact, the case yesterday.
Exactly, Your
it
Honor.
It was a disbar recommendation. We sent it back. They came back with an indefinite, which we heard argument on yesterday. So you do concede we have the power to remand and have you take your, or at least the disciplinary board, take a look at it, correct?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Now, we're just saying you can't decide anything right now based upon the documents.
What you mean to say, we shouldn't decide anything right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think we've ever done that. At least I don't recall doing that. I recall remanding, but not necessarily accepting any evidence at this stage. My question is, if we send it back as requested on a remand, does this not basically open the door to look at everything, and you could come back the same, which we've had a couple come back up the second time with no change, but they also run the risk that it could come back with a more, and perhaps an even a recommendation for an intermediate suspension. So there is risk on both sides if they want a remand rather than accepting this 12-month sick stay, correct?
Yes, Your Honor, although from our standpoint, and we've had a number of discussions in our office about these types of issues where people are filing the objections after the show cause, or appearing for the first time after the show cause. Our position is that we have to look at it on a case-by-case basis, but if there is some semblance of credible mitigation evidence, it should go back down for evaluation. And we can make the decision then. If everything's meritorious, great. If respondent is doing well, as in the case yesterday, wonderful. We'll adjust the sanction accordingly.
I think your argument here is that he was doing certain acts that you believe show he was not in the throes of depression, and therefore merited not going back. Is that basically what you're saying?
That was just the first part, Your Honor.
Okay.
Basically, what I was saying is because this new evidence shouldn't be considered, we're back to the default in our objections. If the court decides to remand the case, we don't have any objection to that. But two things. We would also ask for the opportunity to amend our complaint if the case is remanded. Yes, then we'll have to start all over. But the reason for that is, in count one, the Wilmore matter, we only charged the respondent with failure to cooperate. We didn't have enough evidence to charge on the underlying allegations, which were basically an inmate wrote in and said, I paid this individual to file a judicial release, he never did it. There were some issues with evidence. Respondent's affidavit fully admits that he took the money in 2005, never did anything, and refunded the money in 2008. So if the case is remanded and respondent is permitted to offer this additional evidence on mitigation, we feel that it's important for us to be able to amend the complaint to include allegations of respondent's admitted misconduct at this point.
I think maybe that was what Justice Pfeiffer was sort of hinting that this may not be good for the client in the long run, because
it could open the door. In the case yesterday, that's one of the problems with remand, because number one, the respondent is still practicing regardless of the allegations of misconduct. But number two, when there's allegations made by the respondent at the 11th hour that I have a substance abuse problem or a mental health problem, we don't know the extent of that. And I'm certainly not suggesting that these medical practitioners are lying or incompetent, but maybe they haven't focused on all of the issues that are pertinent for an attorney's practice. We just don't know that at this stage.
Well, since there's, I believe, a statement in the record here that he is competent to return to the duties of an attorney. Mm-hmm. And you would like the opportunity to maybe question that witness on a remand? Is that what
Absolutely, Your Honor. We have to look into that. It may very well be legitimate that he's doing well and has no problems practicing down the road. But we need to be able to look at that so we can come to you and you can make the appropriate decision. Now, one way to address that concern is, like in the Portman case yesterday, when that case was remanded, you placed the respondent on an interim suspension. And that takes care of any concerns of ability to practice or mental health issues. That would address that problem when the cases are remanded. But we just don't have enough information to make an informed recommendation to the court about his condition, about his progress, or
we have enough information to do an interim suspension.
I don't think so, Your Honor. Not on a mental health, not based on these affidavits. That's all I have, is the affidavit of respondent and the two medical providers that were attached to the briefs. I have nothing else. There was no indication prior to November of 2008 that there was any type of problem.
So if we remand without at least some agreement or something to stop practicing law, it's going to be months from now before we'll get this matter back, before you can fully investigate it or we get this back.
At least. Portman took a little over a year. It was remanded in December of 07. So just getting through the discovery, whether or not there has to be an IME,
but
getting
counsel,
it to the board.
Addressing the timeline and the fact that it is somewhat troubling, based on Ms. Sabella's statements, he signed agreements that his health care providers, his mental health care providers, can, if he becomes noncompliant, refer him, report him to disciplinary counsel and OLAP for being in violation of the terms of their agreement on a patient, treatment provider basis, which, you know, I give some level of comfort that there's a watchdog out there, so to speak, on his behavior.
It, based upon what was presented in the affidavits, yes. I still think the case would need to be remanded.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying that is something to take into consideration, at least in my mind, that he's not without supervision, self-imposed supervision with the mental health care providers, and again, based on the recommendation or the representation that apparently he's seen these treatment providers on a fairly regular basis. I think I recall every 2 weeks, so, you know, there might be that assurance.
So in summary, Your Honor, we would again submit that we have no objection to remanding the case for consideration of this new evidence presented by respondent, but we would also like to amend our complaint to include the new admissions of misconduct that he made in his affidavit, and then we can proceed accordingly.
Thank you, Ms. Costa. Ms. Sabella, you've saved a little less than 2 minutes.
Thank you, if I could direct the court's attention to Columbus Bar Association versus Sterner, which was in Relator's reply brief. The court in 1996 stated that in exceptional circumstances, they could consider evidence brought to it at this late stage. And we would posit that there are exceptional circumstances. With respect to the admissions against interest that Mr. Chambers made in his affidavit, that's part of his recovery,
part of his recovery is to take responsibility for his actions and to make amends. He's not suggesting that he not do that. What he's asking is give him an opportunity to remand this case back to the board so both sides can fully develop the mitigation and the aggravation, and that this court can then consider a complete record before it. And I would agree with Justice O'Connor that it is the Dr. Sabatitis, the chemical dependency counselor, that's seeing him every 2 weeks, and Dr. Faust, the psychologist, that's seeing him weekly. And
does he understand that he most likely will face an enhanced set of charges with respect to the first complaint?
Yes, Your Honor, and disciplinary counsel in the original argument for the motion to default was arguing for indefinite suspension anyway. So it's not as though a higher sanction than what the board gave wasn't already on the table.
Thank you, Ms. Sabella. Ms. Costa, rebuttal.
Unless there are any other questions, I have nothing further, Your Honors. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. The marshal will please adjourn court.